Thank you, and welcome to Terratech's third quarter 2015 financial results conference call. A replay of this call will be available at www.smallcapvoice.com and will be archived on the investor relations section of the Terratech website. Before we begin, please let me remind you that during the course of this conference call, Terratech's management may make forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements are based on current expectations that are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to differ materially from expectations. These risks are outlined in the risk factors section of our SEC filings. Any forward-looking statements should be considered in light of these factors. Please also note, as a safe harbor, any outlook we present is as of today, and management does not undertake any obligation to revise any forward-looking statements in the future. With me on the call today are Mr. Derek Peterson, Terratech's Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Mike James, Chief Financial Officer. For the Q&A, we have received numerous questions from investors and will answer them following management's comments. With that, I would now like to turn the call over to Derek Peterson. Derek, please go ahead.
Bill, thank you very much, and also thank you for all the shareholders that took the time to join us today to discuss Terratech's 2015 third quarter results, as well as us providing an operational and business update. Today we reported record quarterly revenue of $2 million, an increase of more than 53% as compared to the same quarter last year. We also saw our margins increase nearly 500% and the bottom line improve across the board. I'm pleased with the progress that we've made on all aspects of our business, and we're looking forward to continuing to execute on our long-term growth strategy in the coming quarters. It's becoming kind of clear to us now at this point that this is the right time to be in the cannabis business. Legal marijuana sales in the U.S., as we've all seen, are estimated to be a total of about $2.3 billion this year and exceed $10 billion by 2018. What's more, one in two Americans lives in a state where medical legalization is present. This nascent industry is extremely well positioned for explosive growth as the regulatory landscape continues to evolve. Public opinion, as you guys have seen on multiple different polls that have come out, including the recent Gallup poll, continues to improve, and the total addressable market is continuing to expand. The industry is also currently highly fragmented and ripe for disruption, as well as consolidation. We've taken strategic steps this quarter to solidify our position at the forefront of the marijuana space. These steps include increasing the visibility and footprint of our IVEX brand and cannabis products. We've further penetrated the California market through introduction to dozens of new cannabis collectives over the past quarter. These include a total of 67 medical cannabis collectives that we added during that quarter. Those areas that are located primarily in the Southern California region, as well as Orange and San Bernardino counties. These outlets are indicative of the market's growing interest in high-quality flowers, joints, concentrates, waxes, shatters, and oils, etc., from a brand consumers know and trust. And the size and reach of these large orders are a testament to our long-term strategy with the IVEX brand. During the quarter, we also received approvals from Clark County, California, for two new medical cannabis dispensaries, making Terratech one of the largest operators in the state. As of today, IVEX is carried in more than 125 locations, and we're continuing to expand on that reach on a daily basis and a weekly basis. California is currently the largest marijuana market and anticipated recreational legalization by 2016. This, in our opinion, creates the potential for the market to possibly double in size. If you've seen, Sean Parker from Facebook just recently came out and is backing financially one of the recreational ballot measures that's coming to play for 2016, which is a significant paradigm shift from where we were over the past 12 months. Looking ahead, we're investing into advertising, marketing efforts to continue to raise IVEX brand recognition. Our competitive differentiator is our ability to ensure safe, high-quality, consistent experience with patients, which is why IVEX flowers, joints, and all of our products are rigorously tested by third-party testing labs for quality and held to the highest standards of potency, consistency, and purity. And we're also confident that the IVEX is positioned to fill the expanse of an untapped market niche here in the state, as well as some other states that we're focusing on. As a vertically integrated cannabis-focused agricultural company, we're exposed to the complete life cycle of the supply chain of medical cannabis, from cultivation, processing, bringing products to market, packaging, you name it. Through our unique seed-to-sale system, Terratech can keep manufacturing costs down in order to maintain significant margins and profitability. And a core component of this model is our Edible Garden Farm, who some of you shareholders have had a chance to come out and visit. 5-acre, full-glass, Dutch-style automated hydroponic greenhouse that's located in Belvedere, New Jersey. Our Edible Garden line of products is distributed to a little bit over 1,600 retailers throughout the East Coast, as well as the Midwest. And a major accomplishment we've achieved this quarter has been the expansion of the edible garden distribution, including 182 Stop and Shop grocery stores throughout the Northeast. That was a significant deal for Edible Garden, and it's increased our distribution reaches and our brand recognition throughout the states. We're continuing to build our edible garden farm through introduction of new products and the integration of additional technologies. As an example, we've implemented an environmental controller that allows us to be able to control the cultivation, control lighting, carbon dioxide levels, temperatures, humidity levels, all the different parameters that we need to be able to maintain in order to have a proper cultivation environment we can do from a mobile device. And we're implementing a lot of these technologies in our cannabis cultivation as well. We believe that the increased incorporation of this technology can make indoor agriculture more environmentally friendly, which is a significant focus for us, especially on the cannabis side, as well as add value to the industry as a whole through data analytics. That's the most important piece, is we can go back and review a cycle of cultivation and see what we did right or see what we did wrong and continue to replicate that, which brings a measure of consistency to our product that we're generating. Also during the quarter, our Edible Garden Farm received a Global Food Safety Initiative, that's GFSI certification. It's a prestigious differentiator certifying the integrity of the produce that we cultivate. Our operational expertise and major third-party validation of our infrastructure allows us to deliver consumers a product they can trust. And this philosophy of integrity, name brand recognition, and quality aligns with our goal of becoming the industry's most trusted purveyor of premium products. And turning now a little bit to the progress to date in Nevada, which seems to be where we get most of our questions. In September, we announced a timeline for the 8 medical cannabis provisional operational certificates that we've secured. As of today, we're on track to launch our IVEX brand in early 2016 as we continue to execute on our strategic objectives and operational milestones to ultimately cultivate and produce IVEX-branded flowers, joints, shatters, waxes, and oils in our own facilities. To accomplish this, we're on schedule to open 4 new dispensaries, 2 cultivation facilities, and 2 extraction and production facilities. It's also important that you note that the new cultivation facilities, which are scheduled to open during the first quarter of 2017, are going to be modeled off of our plan to improve our operating efficiencies, energy consumption, and productivity. If successful, the Nevada cultivation facility may increase production up to 30%, reduce our energy costs more than 60%, which will ultimately allow us to have a better or more manageable gross margin. So we're actually using the cultivation facility for produce and using those same technologies and approaches to make sure that we're cultivating our cannabis production in an environmentally friendly way, as well as a low carbon footprint mentality. I remain confident that Nevada is an attractive market for us, for a number of reasons. You know, we want approval from Clark County to build and operate medical marijuana operations in the state. We've also been working hard to take advantage of the opportunity to be one of the first movers in the market. Most importantly, Nevada is one of the only states in the country, as some of you know, that recognizes patient status from non-residents. This means that multi-state reciprocity allows an individual residing in the state of, say, Oregon, for example, to obtain safe, regulated access to medical cannabis in the state of Nevada. Therefore, we feel the total market opportunity in Nevada is substantially more significant than that of any other state in the country, and this advantageous regulatory landscape makes Nevada a pretty attractive market for us, and we've taken several steps to make sure we increase TerraTech's penetration in this untapped space. As a major tourist destination, some of you may know that Nevada sees almost 40 million tourists per year within a few square miles. More than 30% of those tourists, though, come from California, a legal state. We believe that tourism is going to be a significant growth driver of the medical cannabis industry in Nevada, and our expanded retail footprint enables us to meet that demand. So while we're awaiting the completion of our cultivation facilities, we're introducing the IVEX brand into Las Vegas, Reno, and Clark County to capitalize on a current thriving wholesale market. Overall, new dispensaries and cultivation centers, all of which are located 1 mile from the strip, give or take in each direction, we think this favorably positions us for long-term growth. They also further expand the footprint of our IVEX brand as we look to cultivate relationships within the broad network of retailers in Nevada. So it's the best of both worlds. We'll be able to push our IVEX brand through our own retail store penetration in the state, but we'll also be able to wholesale this brand through multiple retailers through all areas of the state of Nevada. And the beauty of that, with all the people that we have coming from different states, it's instant brand recognition for us for patients that are coming in from, say, Washington or Oregon or wherever they happen to be traveling in from. So we're going to get broad national penetration just from our growth and expansion effort in Nevada alone. Additionally, Nevada voters, you may or may not have seen, will get their chance to legalize recreational marijuana in November. Under the initiative, existing medical marijuana facilities and liquor distributors will be the first in line to sell legal cannabis if voters approve the measure. We feel as though it has a high probability to pass. A major milestone this quarter was California Governor Jerry Brown signing the three bills that comprise the Marijuana Regulation and Safety Act. These three bills establish a Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation, scheduled to go into effect in 2018. This historic legislation creates a formal structure and framework for the state to issue permits, tax, and regulate the medical marijuana industry. It also lays the groundwork for for-profit medical cannabis operations in California. These are true milestones for a 20-year-old industry as they mark the beginning of a new era for IVEX brand, TerraTech, and the medical cannabis sector as a whole. When they go into effect, TerraTech's subsidiary IVEX will no longer be required to operate on a non-for-profit basis. We're going to be able to operate as a for-profit entity. We think perhaps as early as 2016, we spoke to Abanta, the author's office, and that's what they're going for, is to file an amendment to make sure that we can operate as a for-profit entity sometime in 2016. We'll make sure we keep everybody updated on the progress there. Up to this point, we've been strategically laying the groundwork for profitability by increasing the visibility of IVEX, building out our infrastructure within the not-for-profit space, which has given us a competitive head start. We'll now be able to monetize these investments, which will be a big transition for us. Overall, 2016 will be a pivotal year as we continue to see additional regulatory measures, legalization, decriminalization, and marijuana in new markets. We'll evaluate the entry to any new market as appropriate on a case-by-case basis. However, our efforts and resources are currently focused primarily on developing California and Nevada, two of the largest markets we feel in the entire country. On the corporate side, in September, we announced TerraTech's uplisting to the OTCQX Best Market. It's a decision we believe will contribute to the creation of additional liquidity, will broaden our existing shareholder base, and elevate the visibility of our investment opportunity among new investors. We also recently made a strong addition to our board of directors earlier this month. We welcomed Ken Kruger, a finance industry veteran with nearly five decades of consulting experience. He brings also a significant entrepreneurial, business management, and political expertise to TerraTech, which will be instrumental as he helps guide us on a path toward continued growth. Mr. Kruger's addition is part of our effort to increase the independence of our board, as well as build more effective corporate governance programs, which is something we've been promising everybody for a long time. This includes the addition of several committees, an audit committee, a compensation committee, and a governance and nominating committee, as well as the adoption of a new code of ethics. These corporate governance policies are important steps in building a comprehensive and effective compliance program and will also help us achieve long-term goal of uplisting to the NASDAQ. Until then, we're doing everything we can to ensure TerraTech upholds the highest level of transparency and integrity to our shareholders. And with that, I will turn the call over to Mike James, who will run over some of the financial highlights for the quarter.
Thank you, Derek, and good afternoon, everyone. I will now provide you with a summary of our third quarter 2015 results. For the more detailed results, please refer to the press release we issued earlier today, which is posted on our website, along with a Form 10-Q filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, please note that we compile our financials under U.S. GAAP, including our non-operating expenses. Revenue for the third quarter of 2015 increased to $2 million, a 53.5% increase compared to $1.3 million a year ago. Revenue for the 9 months ended September 30th, 2015, was $7.8 million, a 39.7% increase compared to $5.6 million a year ago. Our gross margin for the quarter was 18.3% compared with 5.2% for the previous quarter and 4.9% for the third quarter of 2014. SG&A expenses for the quarter totaled $2.1 million compared to $3.4 million last quarter and $8 million a year ago. The decrease was primarily due to an increase in depreciation for Edible Garden CapEx, an increase in IVEX advertising, an increase in allowance for doubtful accounts, and an increase of consulting fees related to our proposed cannabis business in Nevada. Additionally, we reported lower business permit fees, legal and accounting expenses, and warrant expense compared to the same period last year, which also contributed to the decrease in SG&A expenses for the quarter. Third quarter loss was $2 million, or a loss of 1 cent per basic and diluted share, compared to a loss of $9.5 million, or a loss of 5 cents per basic and diluted share in the third quarter of 2014. The primary reasons for the improvement in the net loss are related to an increase in revenue, a decrease in the cost of goods sold as a percentage of revenue, a decrease in the SG&A expenses, and a reduction in the issuance of convertible debt and warrants. Net loss for the 9 months ending September 30th, 2015 was $6.8 million, or a loss of 3 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to a loss of $18.9 million, or a loss of 11 cents per basic and diluted share for the same period last year. Now turning to the balance sheet. Our cash balance at the end of the quarter stood at $1.4 million, compared to approximately $846,000 as of December 31st, 2014. Debt as of September 30th, 2015 amounted to approximately $1.5 million, a decrease of approximately $3.1 million compared to approximately $4.6 million as of December 31st, 2014. Stockholders' equity for the third quarter of 2015 amounted to $5.1 million, an increase of $3.9 million compared to $1.2 million as of December 31st, 2014. Total revenues generated from IVEX sales for the third quarter of 2015 totaled $420,000, a 229.5% increase from the second quarter of 2015. Now, I'd like to turn the call back over to Derek for some closing comments.
Mike, thank you. So in summary, everybody, we're experiencing growing activity across all of our business lines, increased interest in our IVEX brand from customers throughout the West Coast. We're also increasing the visibility and penetration in the market of our Edible Garden brand. And looking ahead, we're on track with our goals for the year and don't have any significant capital concerns at this point. We have an approved equity line that we're using to fund the company, and we've been able to take care of our operations as well as our build-out, specifically the build-out and infrastructure in Nevada. However, it's important to understand that we're strategically positioning ourselves to take advantage of the current and potential opportunities in the market both today and the future. With that, I'd like to open up the question and answer period, turn the call back over to Phil, and we'll hopefully answer some of the questions and concerns that shareholders may have.
Okay, thank you, Derek. First question, when will IVEX be for profit in California? January 1st, 2016?
Thanks, Phil. So we don't actually know yet. As I said on the call, we reached out proactively to Bonta, who was the author of 266, and talked to his staff in his office. Most of the regulatory environment is going into place in 2018. What they said to us is they are looking to phase in the for-profit piece sometime in 2016, which is obviously a huge positive for us from that perspective. The beauty of these bills is they repealed the necessity or the obligation to operate as a not-for-profit that was listed in Senate Bill 420, which is where California has been operating for the last 20 years. So that's a huge step forward. So whether it's 2018, 2017, 2016, sooner the better, obviously, but it's something they're focused on, and that portion of the regulatory legislation may phase in a lot earlier than the rest.
Okay. Will IVEX be licensed out to other states coming online for medical/recreational cannabis?
Okay, so that's a good question. So like I said, we're focused on a lot of different markets. California, obviously, because it's the largest. Nevada, we think, is going to be, you know, somewhere between 2 and 3 because of the multi-state reciprocity. Those are the areas where we want to own our own facilities, produce our own product. But for brand expansion, there are some areas where we can't do business. And, you know, Colorado, at least at this point, is a great example. Colorado, they have a residency requirement. As a publicly traded company, we can't actually own a business there and be compliant with the meds. So places like that in Oregon and Washington, the places that have residency requirements, we're looking at doing some licensing deals. So we are in talks and negotiations with different entities and different marketplaces to make sure we get that broader brand expansion. Those relationships may not be as accretive of producing our own product and selling it, but we're making sure we put together a promising business model that we can enter new markets that we can't own in right now. We hope to get penetration. We hope legislation changes down the line and opens up. So build some brand equity right now, build some brand penetration, get those relationships in place, and then if the legislation switches, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, we'll have the ability to actually own those entities outright. So we are focused on that as kind of a bifurcated branding expansion approach for the IVEX brand.
Great. Has a second extractor been sourced for Southern California operations?
We're looking at expanding the lab. One of our issues with coming down to Southern California is, and I've said this, I think, in some prior calls, is one of the reasons we've been pretty successful up in the Bay Area with building out our infrastructure and our footprint there is they have a very supportive local government. So we don't get issues with the fire department, the police department, local, you know, community issues, and those types of things. Southern California You know, with the exception of, say, Los Angeles, and even in Los Angeles, isn't as advanced from that standpoint. They're a little more conservative down here. So we're looking to open up a lab in Southern California. We're just waiting for the right political environment to be able to do so. We want to make sure we have the support of our political leaders. I don't want to open up shop, rub people the wrong way, and then deal with the issues of attempting to do that. We're able to deal with our distribution and our production capabilities up in Northern California. We are looking to expand our lab footprint up there for right now in the supportive environment, but we are certainly looking through other places in California to cut down on the logistics cost, in Southern California being the primary spot.
Okay. Last filing showed increase in leasing for additional space in Nevada. Is that for IVEX and a new extraction lab? If so, what is the timeline to distribute IVEX to those dispensaries in Nevada?
Mike, you want to cover the first part of that?
Yeah, I'll do that. Last year, we started renting the locations in Nevada mid-year. This year, we have a full year worth of expense included in the income statement. In addition to that, in the third quarter, we acquired 2 acres in Spanish Springs, Nevada, which is in the Reno area, for about $344,000. And in the fourth quarter, MediPharm One Real Estate acquired a building and land in Reno for $1,080,000. TerraTech owns 50% of that. So as we go forward, some of the lease costs will come down, but they were all for the grow facilities, the labs, and the dispensaries.
And Phil, I'm sorry, what was the second part of that question?
With the timeline to distribute to the dispensaries in Nevada?
Okay, yeah, I mean, so one of the things that we're doing right now, and I've spoken about this on some past calls, while we're waiting for our cultivation facilities to be finished. We are working with existing cultivators, and we're actually looking at operating within some other people's permitted space where we can actually cultivate in their facilities under our own standards while we're waiting for our production facility to step up. And that was one of our reasons for saying that we're going to be able to get the IVEX brand off the ground in 2016 for wholesale distribution, because although we're waiting for our own facilities, there is the opportunity to make sure, or to use the footprint that other people have to make sure that we get the product out there as early as possible. So that's a couple of the things that we're negotiating right now, is not only, you know, wholesale flower contracts that we can produce from, but at the same time making sure that we can use our own people and operate under our own standards and somebody else's footprint from a lease standpoint. So we're working on all three strategies right now.
Great. Can you comment on financing for the Nevada projects as well?
Yeah, I mean, I touched on that at the closing. I mean, so right now we've got the equity line, which is, you know, as the stock price moves around, has a value according to that. And I think we've got 45 million shares or so, give or take, of that left. So that's what's been keeping us afloat and making sure we hit our milestones and production budgets and those types of things within the state. Over and above that, you know, we have access to additional capital available to us. I don't like to take it till I need it, so our thought process is we'll continue to utilize the equity line. We may take some small tranches here and there depending on what we have coming up, but we've done a pretty decent job of layering out the build-out expenses over a broader period of time and making sure we don't get hit at any one given time. So we'll use the equity line for the majority of that. If we have something like a building purchase, like Mike just talked about, or a large equipment purchase, we may do a tranche of financing that's a little bit larger to make sure we can accommodate that and not have to put a bunch of shares out there into the market in a short period of time. We try to be very sensitive to that and make sure we can, whatever we're putting out to the market can absorb, and we don't put too much weight on the share price, because it's in our best interest for a higher share price, just like it is for our shareholders, because we can maximize the utility of the equity line.
Okay. When will we use our own cultivation centers versus partnerships with existing California growers, or are there plans to acquire an existing one?
So I kind of answered that before. So, we're still looking for early 2017 for our own cultivation facilities. And then right now we're trying to partner with people for both, you know, product acquisition, but at the same time looking for space. And we're in discussions with a few people to lease some of their additional space that they're not utilizing under their permits. And then we're always in the market looking for, you know, somebody that may have a turnkey facility that we can add to our permits in the state as well. So you'll begin to see people that entered the race that are just had no intention to operate, but they wanted to build something out and sell it off. So there's also the opportunity for us to buy other cultivation permits as well as buy other retail permits, and that's something that we're focused on as well.
Okay. What steps are being taken to add an independent compensation committee and independent board of directors?
Well, we just did part of that, so we added the comp committee. I think that was last week, the audit committee, the code of ethics. We added one independent director. And we're in discussions with more, so we're trying to transition the infrastructure of the company and the fundamental organization of the company to be what's compliant with a NASDAQ uplisting. I've said to people that's always been a focus and a goal of ours, and now we're really trying to do the footwork to get our fundamentals in shape to be able to qualify. They have both quantitative measures that you need to adhere to, as well as some qualitative measures that you need to adhere to. We're trying to get those quantitative ones done in the next quarter. That way we can at least position ourselves to accomplish this sometime in 2016. You know, the qualitative side is still out there, is will the NASDAQ have a company that's, you know, dealing in cannabis and touching the plan? That's something that we've had some preliminary discussions with them about. Doesn't seem to be a primary concern of theirs, but we all know those types of things can change as time goes on, for the positive, for the negative. So at the end of the day, we're trying to get our fundamentals in order. If they're going to have a qualitative issue, then at least we've got our fundamentals orders in shape. If they don't, then, you know, obviously we'll be well positioned to execute on that.
Okay. Any thoughts about splitting Edible Garden and IVAX as a protection to shareholders? As everyone knows, federal or state intervention could ruin progress.
Yeah, I mean, so the short answer is no right now. We're trying to build the entity as large as possible. And as you've seen in these financial results, we've done a great job with increasing gross margins, which I told everybody is, you know, we're focusing on top line as well as bottom line improvement. We've been able to accomplish some of that as well. So we're not trying to separate or segregate the company or do any types of spinoffs right now. We want to build a large entity with scale, scope. Edible Garden, again, is going to be pretty complementary to us. You know, Chris Christie is going to be out of office in New Jersey sometime in the not-too-distant future. And when that happens, they have a very supportive legislature there. We feel as though the environment there will fast-track pretty quick, and we'll see an expanded medical program as well as the potential for recreational legalization. And we obviously have a great infrastructure there to be able to execute on that quickly. So we don't want to segment a valuable asset like that out. We want to be able to leverage that as much as possible. So as we sit right now, we're going to keep the organization collective. And, again, those risk profiles from state intervention, federal intervention, those types of things have certainly mitigated over the last 12 months.
Okay. Last question, which you just touched on in regards to the NASDAQ uplisting. Are there any definitive timetable markers that would influence them to give TerraTech the green light to uplist?
Well, again, we're trying to get our fundamentals in order over the next quarter. So say by the end of Q1, we're really trying to have the financials where we need them. You saw a big improvement in shareholders' equity with this filing, which we're extremely proud of, and we hope to continue to improve on all our financial metrics. So as we get all that in shape, we're doing the fundamental changes like the independence of the board and the comp committees and those types of things and the increased corporate governance. So we want all of our ducks in a row by the end of Q1 so that we can put in the application, approach to the NASDAQ, and begin to have those kind of qualitative discussions. And we're different from every other company that exists out there in the space. I mean, we're touching the plant. We're not on the periphery. We're not a consultant. We're not a website. We're not any of these things. I mean, we're a manufacturer and distributor of cannabis, medical cannabis, and potentially soon to be recreational cannabis. So there's a, you know, certain sensitivity that comes with that. But at the very least, that's why we uplisted to the QX for now. We're going to get our fundamental corporate governance stuff, continue to put that in order, and we want to make sure that we're ripe and positioned for an uplisting. If they'll have us, you know, that's the best of all worlds. If not, we have to play the waiting game. But, we want to get those fundamentals in order so that when they are ready, we can make that an immediate action, an immediate priority.
Well, that concludes the Q&A.
All right. Again, from all the management here, the officers and the directors, I wanted to thank Phil at KCSA for organizing the call, as well as Stuart Smith. Thank you, Mike James, for taking the time, and thank you to all of our shareholders. We will be sending out some correspondence before the end of the year to announce some shareholder meetings for early next year. And then, again, we're going to try to put one together in the fall as well. So we'll give additional information as that comes up and once we organize some specific dates. Thank you again, everybody, for taking the time to listen to our call.